Skies darken as the immense void ships of the Kin settle into orbit. Dark shapes streak groundwards as a rain of military landers and dropships bear the Kin host to war. Their armored spearheads strike hard and true. Hecatomb land fortresses smash through barricades and over obstructions as enemy fire rebounds harmlessly from their holes. Lighter vehicles race alongside them, swinging around the flanks or focusing heavy weapons on enemy strong points to strip away the outer defenses. As teleport signatures flare and hatches slam open, the Kin host's infantry surge into the fight, and the storm of fire redoubles. Moving with unity of purpose, the Kin assesses and eliminates threats. Searing beams of energy bore through fortifications and vehicle hulls. Squads of Hearthkin advance relentlessly, hammering bolt rounds and plasma blasts into anyone foolish enough to bar their path. Chthonian Berserks and heavily armored Hearthguard storm in to finish their foes at close quarters. Soon enough, nothing remains but the prize that the Kin came to claim, and the scattered bodies of those who sought to stop them. Leagues at War. For thousands of years, the Leagues of Votann have exploited the riches of the galactic core and overcome the perils of that tumultuous region. Over the millennia, they have battled many of the galaxy's races, and sometimes traded with or fought as mercenaries for others. Now, as the galaxy convulses in the grip of the Great Rift, they face new challenges and new wars. The Kin are squat, powerfully built humanoids. They dwell in vast numbers within the galactic core, being not so populous as the teeming humans, but far better established than the nascent Tau or dwindling Eldari. They are a clone race. Each generation emerges from machines known as crucibles, which draw upon vast banks of genomic data to produce a stable and varied populace. Their numbers are further augmented by the Iron Kin, machine intelligences clad in mechanical bodies that are dedicated to aiding their flesh and blood fellows. To the Kin, the Iron Kin are equal and valuable members of their starfaring society, both in times of peace and of war. Few species in the galaxy can match the Kin for resilience of body, mind, and spirit. They are indefatigable, but also highly conservative. It takes a great deal to change their minds, and those not of their species stand little chance of doing so. This makes the Kin implacable enemies. It also makes them valuable allies, but securing their aid is no easy matter. The Kin look to their own familial duties and obligations first, and ultimately to the survival of their race. If they deem the motivations of others to go against these particular interests, then they are more likely to become foes than friends. as a race whose earliest origins lie aboard void-born mining fleets, the Kin have an unforgiving moral code. A filter changed late, a weak seam missed, a water tank left leaking, these and a million other minor lapses can spell disaster when voyaging through the inimical void. Equally, to overlook valuable resources locked away within a stellar body, asteroid field, or particulate belt can leave a ship without the raw materials required to effect repairs or to fuel systems. When waste, laziness, or even simple error can spell death for all aboard, these become the worst of sins. From painful experience has emerged the rugged survivalist culture of the Kin, who find strength and unity in the endless quest to acquire the resources their kindreds need to endure. It is this apparent acquisitiveness that has caused many other species to judge the Kin, often harshly, as selfish hoarders. All Kin, barring only rare outcasts, belong to a kindred. These are groupings somewhere between extended families and close-knit nations, and vary in size from a few dozens of kin up to many thousands or even millions. All kin in a kindred have sprung from its crucibles and thus share a genetic bond stronger than any allegiance to any flag. They usually live, train, and toil within their kindred's hold, but not abroad amongst the stars for trade, prospecting, or war. The Kin habitually load apparently simple terms such as hold with nuanced meaning, being disinclined to even waste words. Thus, while the term is used throughout the Leagues of Votan, it can refer to wildly different structures and locations. Some holds are fusions of fortification, city industrial complex, and strip mine, the largest of which may sprawl across or honeycomb beneath much of a world's surface. Others may be heavily armed void stations, chains of domes scattered throughout asteroid belts, nomadic harvesting fleets, siphoning plants riding the fringes of black holes, or even stranger marvels of technology. A kindred can be a commanding force. Its hold may boast bustling cityscapes, industrial and military powerhouses, and many massive void ships. Yet, greater still are the Leagues of Votan. Nearly all kindreds are part of one or another league, proudly displaying their colors and emblems while sharing trade, military support, guild tariffs, and so on. Many leagues have existed for millennia. The Greater Thurian League, the Emir Conglomerate, the Urani Surtur Regulates, the Typhon Styx Protectorate, and others are established and ancient power blocks. Some, such as the ill-fated Capellan League, have declined over the centuries, while others, like the Cronus Hegemony or the Sarantok Mercantile Leagues, are more recently established. At the heart of every league lies at least one Votan, also known as Ancestor Corps. The Kin believe these venerable thinking machines were created in a lost age of myth and departed their home world aboard the first Kin mining fleets. The Votan were sent into the void alongside the Kin to provide them with all the wisdom and aid they would require. The nodes through which that wisdom flowed have now become the fanes that lie within all kindred holds. The Votan are of incalculable value and importance to the Kin. The millennia have wrought strange changes in these machine intelligences, rendering them ponderous and senescent. Yet they remain all-knowing repositories of lore and treasured links to the ancestors of untold centuries. Kin who can commune with the Votan are known as the Grimnir, or sometimes living ancestors, and are universally respected. Millennia have passed since the very first holds were established in the Galactic Core. The Kin have been content to remain largely within the bounds of that strange region, which has long daunted many other races. Powers such as the Adeptus Mechanicus, the Eldari, and the Worshippers of Chaos have forged inroads into the Core, of course. Some sought the incredible riches generated by the region's stellar nurseries and cosmic phenomena. Others hoped to hide amidst its turbulent gravitic anomalies, or to investigate the dense asteroid clusters flung out from the accretion disks around the supermassive black hole at the galaxy's heart. Yet the Core is a forge for stars, an immense swath of wild space within which the fundamental forces of the universe rage. Many are the blasted ruins and the drifting void hulks that form the headstones of those who sought sanctuary or fortune there. Such was not to be the fate of the Kin, however. Boasting physiologies and technologies seemingly tailored for survival in the perilous region, they prospered where others failed. Their Chthonian mining guilds were the hardiest of all. It was these heavily augmented and suicidally courageous individuals who delved swiftest and deepest. By the bloody light of red giants, their space-borne particle excavators disassembled newborn stars from the inside out, then employed their fusion harvest to refine elements undreamt of to fuel burgeoning industries. Kindred void ships sliced planets apart, then deployed external refinery rigs on miles-long umbilici to reap the molten harvest. Cosmic radiation and particulate belts that had been old when the war in heaven was fought were drawn into immense plasma conductors, or caught in atomic scoops, then transfigured into the materials the Kin required to survive. One by one, the leagues formed. Trade routes bridged void straits, battered by searing stellar winds, or saw merchant craft ply back and forth between the core's outer circumnuclear disk and the ominous dead zone that encircled its heart. More and greater holds were raised upon worlds where night never fell due to the sheer stellar density in the skies above. Life was hard, but the rewards were plentiful, and the kin saw clearly the benefits of thriving in a location where competitor species could not. Thus, as the millennia passed, the Leagues of Votann continued to focus upon settling the immense sprawl of the core, and upon exploiting its boundless riches. This is not to say that the kin never ventured into the wider galaxy. The boldest among them were driven to prospect beyond the core, or to establish trade with species other than their own. More than this, there is a prevailing belief within kin culture that, in order to honor the ancestors, one must live a full life and discover or learn all that one can. This was reason enough to see countless kin exploratory and prospecting fleets, commonly called prospects, set out into the wider galaxy. It also compelled bands of kin to leave their people and to fight as mercenaries in the wars of other species, returning only when they had gathered knowledge and experience fit to offer the Votann. Between these expeditions and contact with alien races, also able to endure the galactic core, the Leagues of Votann have encountered all of the galaxy's greatest powers in one context or another. However, in many cases, these contacts were isolated to a single fleet, conflict, or trade agreement. The kin remain close-mouthed around outsiders, seeing no reason to reveal the extent of their holdings in the galactic core, or risk revealing the existence of the Votann. Many peoples they came into contact with thus mistook a single kindred or league for the entirety of some comparatively minor alien race. In imperial records, it is impossible to say how many itinerant nomad races, unclassified Xenos trade fleets, or so-called abhuman enclaves have actually been kin. Where they have been identified consistently, the kin are typically known to the Imperium by the rather pejorative term, squats, and vary their classification between abhuman and true Xenos. The kin have been mistakenly known to Tau and human alike as the Demiurge, to the Eldari as the Heliosi ancients, and to various other peoples as the Nastari, the Grom, or the Kreg, amongst others. The kin bear all of this with a mixture of contempt and amusement. Their own oldest records do much to confirm a link between the ancestors and ancient pre-imperial Terra, but to the kin, this only encourages greater care in their dealings with humanity. The Leagues decided long ago that neither the God Emperor nor the Omnisire were any deity of theirs. As such, they see anything that might offer the Imperium greater claim to impose its will upon them as something to be avoided. A Alongside exploration, trade, and prospecting, the Kin have also fought countless wars. A disproportionate number of these campaigns have been waged against the Orcs, who remain their most hated and frequent foes. The Greenskins' crude but hardy civilizations flourish as well in the Galactic Core as they do everywhere else. While their anarchic, destructive nature is anathema to everything the Kin value, it is a combination that has seen mutual aggression rage between the two species. The Kin have scarcely more time for the worshippers of the Dark Gods, who they view with a mixture of disgust and bewilderment. They dislike the Necrons also, against whom they have fought numerous times, when their excavations disturb tomb complexes, or ancient dynasties return to reclaim worlds settled by the Kin. The Tyranids, meanwhile, are known throughout the Leagues of Votann simply as the Bane, and are afforded the wary respect one gives to especially intelligent and dangerous predators. This has not prevented some kindreds from actively stalking Tyranid splinter fleets, striking at isolated hive ships in order to harvest their resource-rich bounty. Humanity has been the enemy of the Leagues as often as their allies. Inquisitors and intolerant space marines are quick to name the Kin as Xenos and demand their slaughter. The Adeptus Mechanicus, meanwhile, are viewed by the Kin as superstitious tech shaman, whose acquisitive ignorance makes them dangerous, and who are to be swiftly eliminated where they cannot be avoided. With the Eldari, the Tau, and a number of other alien races, the Kin have maintained semi-cordial relations and achieved sporadic trade. Exceptions have still arisen, of course. The Kin have little patience for the gruesome excess of the Drukhari, or what they see as the arrogance of the Asr Nyani, and of late have clashed around the fringes of the Kalanath expanse with the dynamic Tau Empire. So conservative is Kin society that, as a race, there are certain truisms and idioms that have found universal acceptance amongst them. The Kin call these their truths, and treat them as articles of sincere good sense that are loaded with more nuance and meaning than is immediately apparent. The most common of these frequent Kin saying, "The ancestors are watching," which often doubles as a battle cry. One interpretation of this truth is that all generations who have gone before are judging the deeds of the living Kin, who must strive their hardest to live up to those who came before. Yet equally, this truth can remind the Kin that their ancestors live on in every new generation, and that they are never alone while their forebears stand with them. There are many other truths, from describing worthless objects or foolish schemes as a prize for an orc, to encompassing the depth of the race's spacefaring prowess in the simple statement, "The void is in our veins." Like the Kin themselves, to outsiders, the truths seem uncomplicated and direct, yet in reality, they are far more complex. society. Traditionalist as they are, the kin hold true to core societal structures and ideals, no matter which kindred or league they belong to. The leagues of Votan, the kindreds, and the guilds form the foundations upon which the kin build, and also the venerable institutions whose survival they fight to ensure. The familial bond of the kindred remains with kin and iron kin, whether they live and work within their hold, or roam the stars as warriors, merchants, miners, or courageous Hernkin rangers. There is a shared understanding between members of a kindred that goes deeper than words. It is a commonality of thought and action that binds their armies tight and can appear to outsiders like some form of low-level telepathy. Every kindred has its own name, chosen when it was founded. Some, including Skalfi's kindred, kindred of Narun, or Vikitskin, are named for the ancestor credited with their establishment. Others are named after a defining feature of their hold world, such as the kindred of Echodark, the Thousand Stars kindred, or the Iron Canyon kindred. Oddly basic names are used by some, like Kindred 6 or Kindred 11D, while others boast names that speak to their essential natures, such as the Star Delver kindred or the Kindred of Orc Slayers. The kin are also known to mingle these forms, producing names such as Yod's Black Pillars kindred, or the kindred of Stoic Nightgulf. Other than its people, the heart of every kindred lies in its four pillars. The first is the hearth, the fire that burns at the heart of the hold. Echoing the times when all kin sailed the stars aboard vast generation ships. The hearth is the blazing reactor that powers the hold's defenses and sustains light and life. Its fires are said to burn within the breast of all its kin, only extinguished if every last member of a kindred falls. The second pillar is the forge, wherein the kindred craft the weapons, equipment, tools, vehicles, and technologies required to sustain them. In planet-based holds, the forge may be a conventional, if vast, industrial workshop, but in others, it may take the form of a huge factory vessel, a hollowed-out industrial asteroid, or a grav-anchored factory station. The third pillar is the fane, tended to by the living ancestors. From the fane flows the wisdom of the Votan, for it is here that the Grimnir interface with their ancestor cores. The final pillar is the Crucible, whose genomic cloning technologies ensure the kindred's continuation, and whose ancient devices are defended by the oath-sworn orders of the Ember. Every kindred governs itself from a huge spherical chamber known as the Spakerond. Here, the Hearthspake gathers, a ruling council of guildmasters, senior officers of the military kinhost, and wise and cunning Grimnir. For all their familial bonds, the members of the Hearthspake are much given to strident debate and obstinacy. Kin are slow to change their minds. When one believes firmly that he or she knows what is best for the kindred, they can be remarkably stiff-necked. Moreover, all are keenly conscious that the ancestors are watching. Though voices are often raised and debates may last for days, the Hearthspake sees little of the politicking or self-interested maneuvering that typifies many species' political arenas. The kin might be hard-headed, but they are almost always earnest and honest in their desire to guide their kindred well. Guilds spread through kin society like veins of ore through bedrock. They are uniting bodies made up of all those kin who perform a particular role or provide a particular service within a region of kin space. Every guild is ruled over by its guild masters, who set standards for guild accreditation, expected levels of workmanship, and the tithes their members levy. The most prominent guild masters also attend the Hearthspake to give voices to the civilian kin. In theory, the guilds exist apart from kindred affiliations. They are meant to be a means by which fair competition is maintained across kin space without kindred loyalties carrying undue weight. In practice, smaller guilds rarely extend their influence beyond a single hold or kindred. Moreover, guild affiliation is a voluntary step that not all kin take. Guild members look askance at freelancers, while freelancers in turn despair at those they see as hidebound guildsmen. Where large guilds do reach across multiple kindreds, there is no guarantee another enterprising group of kin won't decide to set up a rival guild. Competition can become heated between such bodies. Other races have been caught in the crossfire as competing guilds sponsor oath-brand expeditions into rich systems. Caring far more about beating their rivals to the punch than about the luckless civilizations already inhabiting contested worlds. Despite their fractious natures, guilds are invaluable to kin society. They smooth trade and transit between kindreds. They provide organizational administration and support throughout the leagues, from star mining and gravitic fracking to military supply chains, void craft repair, the provision and preparation of food and drink, the construction of homes and holds, and every other aspect of kin manufacture and distribution. It all functions better thanks to the guild's competition and high standards. The first leagues of Votann were formed by kindreds in direct possession of ancestor cores. The leagues were initially military alliances intended to ensure the precious Votann were protected and sprang naturally out of the long march mining fleets that settled the galactic core. Soon enough, the leagues became mutually beneficial allied bodies, comparable to star-spanning nations. Each league possesses sole claim to the ancient heraldic colors and logos of one of the Long March mining fleets. Every kindred that belongs to a league is thus entitled to display these schemes and sigils in whatever fashion they see fit, providing it is suitably respectful. Over time, the territories claimed by each league within the Galactic Corps have become relatively set, while prevailing cultures, specialisms, and outlooks have come to prominence within their member kindreds. The many kindreds of the Greater Thurian League, for example, tend toward the core kin values of trade and prospecting, and are known and respected for being especially mercenary. Those of the Trans-Hyperion Alliance are renowned as explorers and voyagers, for they possess an almost puritanical drive to enrich the Votann as much as possible, whether by discovery or military conquest. The Cronus hegemony and Grendel dominance are an overtly warlike, with the kindreds of the Cronus hegemony particularly notorious for their mechanized onslaughts and apparent willingness to declare grudge at the least provocation. The Jotun-Eridani combine are renowned for their craftsmanship and forging. The Urani-Serta regulates have a reputation for incredible stoicism and self-reliance. The Gulo industrial complex are unmatched in the fields of void mining and terraforming, and no league boasts greater or more indomitable fortifications than the kindreds of the Typhon Styx Protectorate. These are but some of the many leagues of Votann scattered throughout the Galactic Core. Even the kin no longer know the full extent or composition of these alliances, for while it is uncommon due to their conservative natures, it is not unheard of for kindreds to leave one league in order to join another. In addition, some leagues have declined in power and importance until they fragmented, while others have been annihilated wholesale by war or tragedy, or have been cut off by the emergent warp storms of the Great Rift. Other leagues have been newly founded, sometimes in far remote territories, or else been refounded in name by those who wish to honor some ancient league believed long lost. Origins and adaptations. It is possible that the ancestor corps retain records of all kin history since their earliest days. If such information survives, however, it is likely buried beyond recovery. Accordingly, even the perennially thorough and practical kin have been forced to accept that, after a certain point, their ancestors' histories blur into myth. The Leagues of Votann are named in honor of Votann itself, who is also known variously as the Primal Ancestor, the Gilded One, or the Stone Mind, amongst others. In some kin myths, Votann was not one being, but many, and is sometimes depicted as a group of gleaming golden figures, or a wheel of graven stone faces. In other myths, Votann fashioned the first crucibles, then raised the kin up and sent them sailing into the dark void, before oceans of fire and flesh rose to swallow them. Some myths speak of Votann as eldest and wisest of the first ancestors, themselves shadowy presences ill-defined and showed in many different forms, both humanoid and otherwise, where they are depicted at all. With typical pragmatism, the kin accept that their myths are too contradictory, allegorical, and suspect to be cited as possessing a definite basis in fact. None of this troubles them overly. Steeped as they are in tradition and dour realism, the kin feel less need than humans to don the armor of faith. They are not frightened by the inexplicable. Instead, they accept reality as they see it to be. If there are matters in their ancient past of which they have no understanding, then, unless those matters suddenly become relevant to their present, the kin set them aside. Of course, many Grimnir continue to interface with the ancestor cores in the hopes of asking the right questions to unlock portions of their ancient history. Most do this more out of curiosity and desire for completeness, however, rather than being motivated by some existential need. For all this, there are certain articles of lost history that the kin deem indisputable fact. They call these the first truths. It is a first truth that their earliest ancestors departed the home world, almost certainly pre-Imperial Terra, millennia ago, aboard fleets of generation ships. It is a first truth that the kin were a cloned people from the beginning, and that the Iron Kin have been with them since those earliest days. It is a first truth also that the ancestors of the kin set out as miners, prospectors, and void dredgers charged with exploiting the riches of the heavens. Kin myth blends into recorded history around the time their long march fleets were approaching the galactic core. Why they did not return to the heartlands of humanity is unclear. From the fact that so many kin fleets plunged into the galactic core within a period of only a few centuries, it might be inferred that a deliberate choice was made. It is during this period that the last references to the first ancestors can be found, often blurring with or transitioning into mentions of the ancestor cores. These are themselves also referred to collectively as the Votann, with the kin employing the two terms interchangeably. The first ancestors are cited here as agents of change and held responsible for the majority of the stable mutations, collectively known as clone schemes, that run through the kin gene pool. This pool appears to have been broad, deep, and varied from the first, putting the lie to simplistic notions of a clone race all being literally identical. The Votann are thought to have hardened the kin both physically and spiritually. Some accounts claim this was in response to a perceived threat. Others, that it was done to ready the kin for inhabiting their harsh new home in the galactic core. In practical terms, the introduction of the clone skeins gave the kin denser musculature, tougher bone structures, higher red and white cell counts, exceptional core strength, and formidable physical resilience. More esoteric, but no less evident, are the changes worked on the kin spirit, which cause their souls to shine far more dimly amidst the tides of the warp than those of humans. The kin evidence no uncontrolled psychic mutation, and only those with the appropriate psychoactive clone scheme can activate the so-called barrier tech that allows psychically active kin to interact with the Empyrean. It is rare indeed that kin fall victim to physical mutation, demonic possession, or the temptations of chaos. Hostile psychic abilities struggle to find purchase upon them. It has been suggested by some outside observers that this very hardening of spirit led the kin to become ever more obstinate and conservative in character. If this is so, then it is just one side of a metaphysical feedback loop that has benefited their race greatly across the millennia. Beyond these benefits, there are many clone schemes that impart useful physical abilities upon kin who possess them. From enhanced reaction times and vision that registers infrared or other energistic spectra, to limited resistance to extremes of temperature, gravity, or strains of cosmic radiation, the list goes on. The clone skeins undeniably aided the kin in enduring the extreme environments of the galactic core. Many clone skeins manifest physically, whether it being unusually colored eyes or skin, craggy subdermal layers, chemical body odors, or various other giveaways. To humanity, such physical abnormalities would surely be cause for prejudice and mistreatment. To the kin, they are rather badges of valuable ability, either bequeathed by the ineffable ancestor corps or encouraged by the cloner guilds during gestation. Obscure legend gives way entirely to historical record during the following centuries, as scattered kindred fleets settled new worlds, established trade routes, and became the first leagues of Votann. The Votann. The Votann, or ancestor corps, are as sacred to the kin as gods are to more spiritual races. Part oracular fonts of wisdom, part gestalt ancestral presences, and part sentient supercogitators, the Votann are the foci for a secular cult of veneration which is as close as the kin come to religious belief. No league would risk harm to its ancestor core if there was any other path, and no kin nor iron kin would hesitate to lay down their lives in defense of the Votann. By custom, the kin do not speak of the Votann to outsiders. They use their name freely enough, but never explain it, content to leave others to believe what they want of the word. The Votann belong to the kin, just as the kin belong to the Votann, and no other peoples have any place in that relationship. In part, this is because superstitious non-kin would be apt to misinterpret the ancestor corps as deities or demons. In truth, the Votann can best be described as ancient machine intelligences, so complex and powerful as to be nigh on supernatural. Their self-organized data stacks and quantum info cores hold all the information a race might need to thrive in the depths of space. Weapon specifications, standard template constructs, scientific and philosophical learnings, genealogical data, military and survival theory and strategy. These are just parts of the wealth of lore buried within the machine minds of the Votann. So bright do their artificial intellects shine that kin voidfarers are even able to use them as localized beacons within the warp. Herein lies the other reason the kin do not speak of the Votann to outsiders. In a dark and ignorant age, few treasures are as precious or dangerous as knowledge. Sadly for the kin, the wisdom of the ancestor cores has become ever harder to access as the millennia have passed. Whoever created these incredible machine minds, it seems unlikely that they were ever meant to continue independent operation for as long as they have. Nor, perhaps, were they equipped to wrestle with the intellectual or moral dilemmas or galactic truths they have been faced with. More and more information, dutifully catalogued and filed away, has filled their mental storehouses to overflowing. Questions posed to the Votann have required them to adapt their own processing subroutines through self-guided evolution, and at times, to request information or mechanical augmentation. Over-association with the true living minds of the kin has led some Votann to develop strange behavioral quirks akin to rudimentary personalities. All of them have become more ponderous of thought. Questions asked of the Votann may take as much as centuries to receive an answer, which may even then be another question. Information not regularly accessed has vanished into lost data vaults deep within their mental architecture, while vital facts or details have been mired in self-replicating layers of data amendments. Day by day, the ancestor cores become more senescent, and in some cases, mercurial. Ironically, the cultural practices of the kin may have actually contributed, however unwittingly, to the ancestor cores' decline. The Votann have long borne responsibility for regulating the genomic data required to breed each new generation of kin, even as the race has grown exponentially. Perhaps most demanding of all, they have also accepted into themselves the accumulated and often duplicate cerebral data of endless generations of dead kin and iron kin. Seems likely this custom was once purely practical, part of some pragmatic routine that saw the bodies of the fallen recycled for nutrients and raw material. In more recent millennia, however, it has taken on an element of ritual that has seen mountainous drifts of information drown even the hyper-technological mind cores of the Votan. All kin desire to rejoin the ancestors upon their deaths, with their bodies and minds offered up to the Votan, in belief that their experiences will enrich the machine minds and aid future generations. This places great pressure on the individual kin to live up to the perceived ideals of their ancestors, driving them on to illuminate dark new corners of space, to witness sights no kin before them has, and to engage in adventure and battle across the vast span of the galaxy. It is a major motivator and oath bands setting out to fight as soldiers of fortune in the wars of other races. For doing so allows them to learn much from their temporary employers, not least the movements of potentially hostile foes and the locations of rich caches of resources. They then return to their people, more grizzled and wise than ever before. The tradition of returning to the ancestors also provides the kindreds with their greatest means of sentencing transgressors. It is viewed as a waste of resource to incarcerate those kin so aberrant that they would commit cardinal crimes against their own. Murder, extreme wastage, and abject failure have but one possible punishment: that they might no longer burden their family. The culprit is sent into exile, from which vanishingly few ever return. At the same time, their name is told to the Votan, so that the ancestors know who has failed them and can forbid the transgressor entrance into another kindred or league. To the kin, the true horror of this sentence is neither death nor loneliness, but rather that they will never be permitted to return to the ancestors. Their entire life and all their experiences are thus rendered meaningless. The kin say of this fate that it would be better never to have drawn breath. The thought of exile is one of very few that inspires true dread amongst them, and its threat does more to stay the hand of lawbreakers than would any amount of corporal punishment or fire and brimstone dogma. It is the Grimnir who come closest to speaking to the Votan. To them falls the duty of asking the ancestors for wisdom and guidance, and interpreting the resultant output. This they do within the arcane technological structures called fanes. Every hold has a fane, a space of timeless devices and quiet contemplation, at the heart of which lies a complex tangle of machinery that is part altar and part interface. It is said that once these machines were simply the nodes through which the wisdom of the Votan flashed with the speed of thought from one voidcraft to another. They still fulfill this practical purpose. Culturally, though, fanes have taken on a greater spiritual significance to the kin, so that now they are viewed as places where one stands in the full regard of the ancestors, and where the presence of the Votan lies heavy and somber. indeed through arcane technological processes that even the kin do not understand. There have been instances recorded of Fanes miraculously developing artificial intellect in their own right, and joining the ranks of the Votann themselves. These occurrences of miraculous self-awareness are cause for great honor and celebration amongst the kindred in whose hold they occur. By comparison, though, more than one Votann has degenerated in recent centuries until they have become little more than Fanes themselves. To witness such decline is a terrible tragedy to the kin. Alliances such as the Kaplan League or the disintegrating Belor Atal conglomerate endured long years of mourning after their ancestor cores suffered this fate.